Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
It's another edition of Bombing with me, Eric Andre, the podcast where I talk to friends, comedians, musicians, and more creative types about their most embarrassing and cringe moments on stage. This week, I talked to good pal Nikki Glaser. She's funny and hilarious and has her own show, The Nikki Glaser Podcast, also on the Big Money Players Network. She's my pod sister from another mister. Also, she's the host of Fuckboy Island on the CW. We talk about the time she fainted on stage at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in charming Montreal and how to avoid panty lines get pussy juice on your pants. Her words, not mine. You know the deal. We publish new episodes every week. Rate us 5 stars and check out Big Money Players Diamond on Apple Podcasts to get exclusive weekly bonus content plus ad-free episodes. Let's get into it.
Bombing. With Eric Andre.
Do you know the premise of this podcast? It's called Bombing.
Yeah, I do. I've thought about some bombs.
And I just want to know what the worst bomb you've ever had is.
I think I black out really bad things happen to me, but...
Black it back in, girl. White it in.
Okay, but the worst time I fainted on stage was probably the biggest I've ever bombed.
No way. You fainted?
On stage, live.
That's my worst nightmare.
It was the first time I ever fainted. I didn't even know it could be a thing that I would ever happen to me.
Oh my God.
And it was
awful.
It was so bad.
Oh my God. What happened? Where were you?
So I was doing a gig. It was 2007. It was right before the Montreal Comedy Festival, but right before that week. And I had gotten new faces, which is a thing that's like, welcome to the industry. It's Nikki Glaser. And it's like, you're being presented. It's so much pressure going to Montreal to get flown out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're... You really feel like it's your like star search moment. Your one chance, your one shot.
They fly you out, Spirit Air, middle seat, 3 connecting flights.
Yeah, they div you, no per diem. Yeah, it's and then you do 1 5-minute set.
I think you had to pay for your own hotel, right?
I think you actually did at some point.
They don't even pay for you to go out.
And you do 5 minutes on a packed show with 15 other people.
Yep.
And Tom Papa's hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out into a crowd of French people in the industry, and they're not great. And the room is big and echoey and weird. And I was too young. The thing is, you want to be old in your class of new faces. What year did you go?
I didn't even think about that.
You want to be the best. And whoever's the best is usually the oldest. You don't want to be the old man that is like, we have one novel, like 60-year-old man. But you want to be the person who's been doing stand-up the longest relatively.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe I went too early.
A lot of us did.
I did Aspen Comedy Festival.
Okay.
HBO Aspen Comedy Festival in 2006. I'd been doing comedy for 3 years.
Oh, wow. Wait, so that did not pop you?
I'm still working a temp job and waiting tables. It helped.
It did help.
I got an agent out of it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got an agent out of it. It was the first time I got like representation, but I wasn't making buku bucks at all.
You didn't sign any deals?
I did not sign any deals, no. So wait, what did you, how did you faint?
So weeks leading up to this, I was so nervous. So I was having like a raging eating disorder. I was like not eating all day. And then I was like running after work and I was temping out of jobs and I was falling asleep constantly because I was so malnourished and I was smoking so much weed and just like literally my diet was like weed and like a Froyo every day. And then sometimes I'd let myself eat a full meal if I was getting it for free because I was doing a show where they give you a meal and that would be by, like my one, like I'm going to go bananas because it's free. So I was doing Hennessy's, which is a restaurant in Dana Point, which is like in the OC. And I had drove there after work. I also had run after work and smoked weed right before I left. So I drive down there. I haven't eaten all day.
You're fucking, you're wild.
Wild. Out of control. Trying to have so much control. Thinking I'm killing it.
Did you drink in these days?
I did, but I hadn't drank. I wasn't planning on drinking then. I think when I was in control phases of like, I gotta lock it in. I'm doing Montreal. I would like lessen the drinking. Weed smoke more, diet, like control, control. And so, and I think drinking was like, that will make me fat. So I was just like, I thought being skinny enough was going to get me something there or make me funnier. I don't know what the fuck. So I got to the show and I was like, I knew that I was feeling weak. And I was like, I need to order. So I ordered right away and they go, you can go up next. And I was like, I really need to eat something. And they're like, just go up next and then your food will be ready when you're done. And I was like, okay. So I go up and right when I'm up there, I start to kind of feel like, oh God, but I don't know the feeling. And I'm kind of having cognitive issues for the first time, I think ever maybe, where like you can't think of what you're saying and you don't. At first you start panicking because you're like, why am I not thinking what I'm saying? So then you can't think of what you're saying because you're panicking about what you're not thinking. So it, and then the tunnel vision started. And that's when I was like, uh-oh, systems are shutting down. And I just said to the front row, I was like, I think I'm gonna faint. And I go, is that awkward? And then this woman just goes, yeah. And I was like, it is. And then I just boom, boom, boom. And then I had a dream that I was in the ocean and that I was like washing up on the shore, but it was like me like falling against this like fucking railing that was behind me because there was nothing else. And then it was the guys like coming up to catch me because I was like just crumpled on stage.
Oh my
and
God.
Then I had a dream after the waves crashing, which lasted a really long time. I had a dream that I fainted on stage and I was like, that's embarrassing. And then, you know, when you wake up from a dream and you're like, thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah,
like you're
yeah.
like, yes. So I had that moment of like, oh, thank God I didn't faint on stage. And then I woke up and I'm like, oh, it's real. And it was like the worst realization. It was, I've never had it where you think a nightmare is a nightmare and then it turns into real.
No.
It was the first time. And I was,
that'd be bad.
It was so embarrassing. The room was dead quiet. I think I woke up from like the quiet and I was like murmuring I was diabetic into the microphone because I think, and I'm not, I think I just wanted to generate some kind of excuse that wasn't like, I'm anorexic,
yeah,
you know? Like, I just think that my brain was trying.
No.
So they were all like, you're diabetic. And I'm like, what? No. And then I ran into the bathroom because I was so embarrassed and I'm in the stall and I'm just like, and it's right off the stage. And there's like hundreds of people in this room. This is a big, and they're all eating dinner. They're all eating like their shrimp platters and it's dead silent on stage. And I'm in this stall and I'm by myself. No one else is in there. And I was just like, my life is over. Like for some reason I thought this would get out and people would be like, she's a liability. And it was just felt, it was wrapped up in my eating disorder at the time too. Like fainting is like really like, I had been anorexic for so many years and never fainted and kind of prided myself on it. Cause that's when people are like, you need help, you're fainting. And I like never got to that level. So this was the first time that I was like, oh God, my disease is like ruining my life making it so I can't stand up. Like this is embarrassing. I got surge of anger because I was so embarrassed. You know, like that Dane Cook joke of like when you trip and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
With like the side where you get like mad at whatever's behind you, but you're really just so embarrassed.
Then
I just was like filled with anger because I was just like so fucking too many feelings. And I burst out the doors of the women's room and I go, is anyone gonna fucking help me? To this room of people that are just like sitting there with it, waiting for me to come out because they're worried.
Did it end?
And then I shot straight to the right and I went into the kitchen to be like, I need something to eat. My blood sugar's like, I was just like crazy yelling. I'm not this type of person, but it was just an overwhelming. I've never felt so embarrassed. I've never had something happen to me like that.
How did you get better?
I came to my senses inside. I'm like stuffing bread into my face in the kitchen. And then I'm like, oh my God, there's only one way out of this kitchen. I gotta go back through. And I was so already like calmed down to feel like that was really embarrassing how I like just that it happened, but also how I responded like, this is awful. And so then I just sheepishly walked out of the room and everyone like applauded. And I was like, oh God. Now I'm getting credit for like walking. This was so embarrassing. And then I had to convince them all I was okay to drive home. I'm like, no, I swear. But I couldn't say what it was. I was like, it was because I didn't eat all day. Like, I was just too embarrassed of it. But yeah. And then that has happened to me one other time, but I knew I like took an edible once in Montreal, actually, but years and years later. And it had nothing to do with my diet, but like an edible kicked in as I was on stage because the show was earlier than I thought. And I wanted it to kick in when I was on a treadmill, but instead I missed, they called me while I was on a treadmill and were like, you're up next. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I ran over to the theater and I was like, I didn't eat again. And I, you know, a snack beforehand and the edible kicked on stage. And I was just like on stage and I go, I think I'm going to faint. So I'm going to hold on to the stool. I'm going to be right back. But I do need the host to come back. And I'm like, not really making sense. And Robert Kelly is downstairs.
Oh my God.
After he just brought me on stage, he's downstairs taking a shit in the bowels of this, like, pun intended, of this, like, castle, you know, like St. Kathleen or whatever it is. So he was like mid shit and everyone's like, you gotta go back out there. She's gonna faint.
Oh my God.
And then I walked off stage and I just chugged a Coke. That was easier because I was just like, I've been through this before. This happens. And it didn't. But just totally fainting was the worst moment of my life, I think.
That's wild. Is that when you started getting help for your eating disorder?
No.
You kept going.
Yeah, like you because were like,
this
it wasn't
rock bottom. I can go farther, deeper.
There wasn't time to hit rock bottom because I had to go to Montreal Comedy Festival. I'm not going to start like going to meetings right on that or whatever I needed to do.
But I mean like around that time where you like, oh, hey,
you know, no, because it was off and on. Like mine would just always switch. I'd go from like starving myself to over-exercising to then binging to throwing up to, so it just would like change. It would morph. I got actual help when I was really, really sick and almost died. Like that was years prior when I was 19, 20. I like really got out of the phases where it was going to kill me. And then I, which was so great.
Was like your hair falling out and stuff?
Oh yeah. Like I was hospitalized and stuff. Oh. It was gnarly. I was gonna die.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. But I got out of it and then I started doing stand-up and
you're kind of bumming me out, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like,
I'm sorry.
Do you have any idea what I'm going through right now?
This is always happens to me when I start telling my truth. My whole life is just me trying to tell people this and then just being like, I was having a really good day and I'm just trying to keep it high vibes. And I'm like, oh, I thought you wanted to know.
Damn, that's pain. Hardcore. I didn't know it was like hardcore like that.
Yeah, dude. I got out of like, I'm not going to die from this so I can still do comedy because I cared enough about comedy that I was like, I don't want to die from this. Before I was like, please kill me. This is hell.
Oh, man.
Because I couldn't eat.
Where did that come from?
It, you know, being insecure, being a perfectionist, OCD.
Yeah.
Losing a friend to suicide in high school.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Being scared to leave home around college, not feeling like I had any talent, not being able to pursue. Like, it was just stemmed from a lot of things of like, I need control in my life. And so it just showed up in that way of like, gosh. Oh, I'll just be the best at not eating. And I really was. I was quite good at it.
Weren't you so tired and weak and angry?
Oh,
and
dude, it sucks so much. Whenever anyone sees someone that is anorexic, please have a little compassion for them. And I know it's like so confusing because you're like, eat something. All I can tell you is they can't. It doesn't make sense. And I still don't think it makes sense when I see people that are that thin. I'm literally like the same person I used to hate when they would say it to me and like, eat a cheeseburger. But it's out of your control and they're cold and they're hungry. And you know how you get like a little bit, you get hangry, like Snickers commercials? Picture that all the time, nonstop, and it's never going to end because you're never going to eat again. And you know that. And so you're in for a lifetime of suffering. There is no exit.
How do you survive like that? It's like,
it sucks, dude.
You need nutrients. Your cells need nutrients. It's
I don't know. Yeah, it shocks me now. Now I'm in a part of my recovery. It's not like perfect, but I thank God I'm in a phase of like, I never get to starve. So if I'm hungry, I like have to eat. I don't get to answer that little part of my brain where it's like, this feels pretty good. You're not eating right now. And you're getting that lightheaded feeling. And that feels that you're losing weight. Like I don't get to chase that anymore. So that's like my rule for myself.
What do you do? Intuitive, whatever it's called, intuitive eating?
Yeah, because that leads to you being like, I only need to eat once a day and give an anorexic, intermittent fasting diet and she will run with it until it's anorexia.
Shit.
Yeah, because that's what I loved when intermittent fasting came out. I was like, oh, I'm like never.
Anorexia is back.
Yeah, I mean, I can be anorexic again. Yeah, it's back, baby. And now it's got a name and Joe Rogan's talking about it. And everyone who's anyone knows that this, like, you know, Tim Ferriss This is the way he's telling us to do. So it felt, I got back into it in like 2020 and then I got out of it again.
Gosh.
But it always comes back. But yeah, that was, I think in terms of bombing, that just, that's the most uncomfortable I've ever been on stage. And I felt really just bad.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Eric Andre.
What's the most wasted you've ever been on stage?
Oh man, that's a really good question.
Have you been wasted on stage?
Yeah, for sure.
Like what? Stone, drunk, what?
Drunk. I quit drinking when I was 27, but before then I would get pretty damn wasted. And not really ever on stage.
I remember. We used to call you Wasted Nikki.
No, did you really?
No, I don't remember that.
I'm not even kidding you. That's why I quit drinking, is I'm like, this is not a good look, and people will start talking about how you're no fun to be around, or you're like obnoxious, or you make too many friends, and you like make too many promises, and you're too fun.
When were you like trash OLED on stage?
I don't think on stage I can remember, because I used to get blackout drunk, you know? So it's like, I don't even know that I'd remember it. If I were, I think that there have been times that I'm like so high on stage, but that's always like pretty fun and in like a challenge.
So all the blackouts, you don't remember any of them. Do you remember being super stoned on stage or on acid or something?
Yeah, definitely stoned. But I think stoned is like, I don't get anxious from doing stand up anymore. So sometimes I smoke a little weed beforehand because I think the feeling of anxiety of being like, I'm nervous about this performance, like makes me a better comedian and a better performer because I care. So sometimes I smoke a little weed so that I get like, oh, what if something happens? It feels like I'm kind of walking on a tightrope out there and like, whoa, I'm like controlling this train of thought, which is like, you're so high right now. And I have to do this train of thought, which is like, what are you going to say next? And then also like, what am I saying right now? And it feels like I'm like an acrobat. Like I feel alive when I feel like I'm shoplifting or something. It feels like I'm getting away with something.
Have you ever like done like a fucking 100 milligram chocolate chip cookie or something?
No.
And you went on stage like, fuck, man.
No, my biggest fear is being out of control in front of people. Like anyone witnessing. That's why fainting was so awful. So I would never do that.
Like when Fergie Peter Pants at a performance.
Oh my God, dude. I wouldn't mind that. There's been times on stage where I've almost had, like, peed. Okay. So women, when we're on our period, like sometimes you just start it or you are in the middle of it, you run out of tampons. And so you make a pad with like you roll up toilet paper around your hand and you make like a makeshift pad with toilet paper that will soak enough of it up. Like unless you're
disgusting.
Like, you know, hemorrhaging.
This is disgusting.
So I know. I'm so sorry.
How dare you desecrate.
And so you put it in your underwear.
Yep.
But one time I was on stage and I was just wearing a thong. So it's just like a little string and it's not like a whole underwear thing holding it in. And it was starting to fall out and like unravel like a bloody
on stage?
Like TPing.
On stage?
Coming. Yeah, on stage. And, but I caught it in my thighs. I closed them shut and was able to like wiggle and walk off stage. So that has happened where I've like, what would I fucking say? What would I do? I don't even know. But
you should have just let it drop and been like, who wants some vampire tea?
I think I would lean into it now. But at the time, it was like the most mortifying thing that could ever happen. Now I don't care if my string's hanging out. It's like, who cares? Who cares if someone's like, your tampon string? It's like, oh, so I use a tampon? Like, it doesn't, I don't understand, like, panty lines. People are like, your panty line's showing. It's like, yeah, I don't want to get shit on this pair of pants. I don't want to.
Is that true? Like, panty lines are?
Not shit, but, like, I don't want to get, like, pussy juice on my pants. So I'm wearing underwear like most people do. What is the crime?
Oh, are panty lines like taboo or something?
Yeah, that's why girls wear thongs, because you don't want to see like it slicing your butt cheek in half, and it kind of makes like for a bet, you know?
Oh.
It's better just like look like you're like, I could be wearing nothing under this. And so we wear these uncomfortable thongs, which I'm getting used to now. It's like flossing. Like you have to get calloused a little bit.
That's like girls make rules to themselves. I don't know. Do guys notice that? Is that for?
No, they don't. They don't give a fuck about a panty line. I mean, I think it does look more aesthetically pleasing in general. Like it's kind of a subconscious thing, but I don't think generally. You'd
guys don't notice anything. Guys are like, duh, I want beef stew. Duh.
You really don't.
Did you see Fast and the Furious 75? The car went vroom, vroom, vroom. And the other car went, we're not like, panty line? Gross.
You don't care about our nails? No. Like, that's a thing. It's so funny.
No, we're like, huh? We're like, I hope you play with my wiener later.
But some guys are like feet guys, so then you have to manicure if they're like looking at your feet extra hard.
Like 1% of guys are feet guys.
Yeah, I know.
It's like Quentin Tarantino and Nick Cannon, and that's it. I'm not paying attention. A girl could have chicken feet. I wouldn't even know.
Wow. Okay.
I'd be like, do you like me? Can we kiss on the lips?
In relationships, would that be a thing that girls would get mad at you about? Like you don't have attention to detail? Would they? Has that ever been a complaint for you in a relationship?
Probably one of 5,000. I want French fries with my beef stew. Ooga booga.
Yeah, you guys are simpler.
Yeah.
It must be nice.
Yeah. I'm at the age now where my horniness, my hungriness, and my sleepiness are all equal. So if I'm like not getting laid, I'm like, well, I'm getting French fries and I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. Hell yeah.
Right.
That's like as sick as like getting laid to me. I'm like, dude, I got 8 hours of sleep. In my 20s, I'm like, dude, I got laid last night. Now I'm 40. I'm like, dude, I got 8 hours of sleep last night.
That's so funny. You got to do that as a bit. Write that down.
Dude, I had French fries last night. Oh, hell. My friends are like, are you for real? I'm like, hell yeah.
I'm in a relationship and I will. There'll be a moment in the evening where you choose food or fucking. Like, it's going to go either way. It can't be both.
Dude, I'll be honest. I think my testosterone's going down because, yeah, food has been.
I always choose food.
Food has been. I'm like,
not only have I chosen food and turned down the thing that's free right in front of me, I've paid $80 to have this food delivered to me and driven across town. Like, I waste money on the thing that I'm choosing over the free thing in front of me. It's crazy. Because food is so fucking good. But then, yeah, you get too full to fuck. TFTF.
Yeah. God, I have a story. I have a story I'll tell you. Offline that is too hot for TV. That's a perfect.
Oh, really?
Like, I was about to have like the sex of my life, but I ordered a fried chicken sandwich first, ate it, and then passed out before.
No.
Okay, I'll just tell it. I was about to have group sex, and I've never had group sex. And I was like, it is on. I was like dating this girl that was particularly freaky. And like right before the other two gals came over, we ordered fried chicken sandwiches. We ate the fried chicken sandwiches and we both passed out. And like I woke up the next morning to like 55 missed calls. And I was like, I just missed out on the best sexual potentially the best sexual experience of my life because I ate like half a sandwich and passed out drunk. Yeah, it was like, I was like, and it'll never come back again. I was like, I'll never be. Maybe not, but
I don't think it was meant to be. If that really mattered to you, you would not have chosen sleep and food. Were you so drunk and tired?
I was drunk going through a breakup, hooked up, and I like got back with this gal that
you would have caught that, AIDS that night. You dodged AIDS.
Like, I think that's how I,
this is all meant to be. I'm serious. Like, let's just think of it that way.
I was like tying one on.
Not to be judgmental of anyone with AIDS. Everyone wants it, and it's fine to be to have it.
Everyone wants but it. That's a crazy
everyone's cool with it. I'm just trying to be accepting of those with AIDS listening. We all are cool with you having AIDS, and we want it to.
Oh shit.
But yeah, we do try to avoid it normally. I think that's meant to be, but you'll have group sex again.
I don't know. I think that was a sign.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a thing you should that you need to have in your life.
It was like on. I was like, it's on. And the gal I was with was like, hell yeah. She was like wilder than me.
Did your relationship last long after that? Was that like a good relationship?
No. I was getting out of, I was like,
oh, the girl that you were with though, like that
gal I was with that night was like a gal I hooked up with before I dated the gal that blew up in my face. So I was like, I'm going back to her because you were a dick to me. And like,
oh yeah.
And we're having a wild hair up our ass kind of night. And then I ate half a sandwich. And went
God,
to
those
sleep.
Two girls were coming over to fuck you guys. How did you find them? How did you know that they were down? Like, how does this all get organized?
You know what? We have to break for commercial real quick.
Okay. That's really coincidental.
Yeah.
That it came up at
never,
a time that you don't
I've never
want to
broke
talk
for
about.
Commercial either. I just usually record through.
I just want to know how you organize one. It just sounds fun.
Well, there's clubs.
Well, of course there's clubs. FetLife and there's Thrinder.
Well, there's clubs called strip clubs.
Oh, duh. Okay.
There's clubs called strip clubs.
That would be my first guess, actually, if I would have thought even for a second. Yeah. I love strip clubs.
This is why I didn't want to poison your virgin ears with my...
You want to hear what I did? This is one of the coolest things I've ever done. Because I love strippers, but I don't like going to strip clubs because I don't want like them to like try to flirt with me. Like, I don't like when it's like, oh, she's like, everyone's going to watch them be lesbians. I like don't... I want to be like in control of it. I don't want to be like the like person in the chair. Like,
yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you're like, it is my birthday. Ooh.
Yeah. I wish I could be like invisible in strip clubs because I like watching guys become that kind of like, they're kind of stupid and these women are all like walking around powerfully. But my boyfriend was in London and I was not going to be able to see him for his birthday. And it was like kind of a bummer because I had to get surgery. And so it was just like, I just can't be there. It's going to be fun. You're going to go out with your friends, but I wish I could be there. And that what he didn't know was I was going to plan it. And I was having surgery soon after that, but I was going to just come in for 12 hours and leave the next day. And
you were getting surgery in London?
No, I was getting surgery in Boston. So that's why I couldn't go to London. It was like, this was on a Monday night and I was getting surgery on Thursday. So it was like, I just can't make it, babe. I'm so sorry. But then I decided to go to London. I talked to his friends that he was with. And I was like, okay, I am coming to town. Bring him to a strip club. Get him a lap dance. And then I'm going to come out dressed as a stripper in this dark room and like surprise
shit.
Him.
That's tight.
And it's so good, right? So, because I like when he goes to strip clubs. Like, I'm kind of into that kind of thing. So I was like, this will be perfect. And I know he likes them. So they went and got him and brought him to one. And I flew to London that day and like went to Zara and got like the stripperiest outfit, which you can surprisingly find at Zara, a pretty good stripper outfit.
Tell me something I don't know, honey.
And then got a wig. I'd already bought a wig and I went there early and met with some strippers to like tell them the plan. And they were like, okay, we'll get him. And I didn't know this in London that lap dances, they can't touch you. So you just get a room with someone and then they just like dance in front of you, which is like, who would pay for that?
Prostitution's legal in England. Yeah. And the strippers can't touch you?
They can't.
Then you can pay a woman to have sex with you?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed to be on that, you know, that kind of system. But they were very adamant, like, we can't touch them, which bummed me out because I wanted to walk in while he's like getting a lap dance from these girls and be like, I'm going to come in now, you know, like, and just be a sassy stripper to be like, get off, ladies. And then it's his girlfriend. It'd be fun. But they're just like dancing in front of him and they come to get me. And then I walk into the room that he's in with these two girls and they're like, here's our friend. And he like gets up to like shake my hand. It was really nice. It was like,
pleasure to meet you.
The way that you would want your boyfriend to greet a stripper.
Yeah, yeah. He passed the test.
He was like, hey, I'm Chris. Nice to meet you. And I go, I'm Nikki. And he was just like, what the fuck? And I was topless too, because I wasn't gonna be topless, because I was like, I don't want to be topless around other people. But both the strippers were topless, so right before I went in, I was like, I'm just gonna like commit to this.
Whoa, you blew his mind.
And so it was really fun that I got to be a stripper for a little bit. But as soon as I got up to him,
then his wife came in and you were like, who is this?
As soon as I touched him, though, the security guards were like, get off him, because they thought I was a real stripper. So I was pretty flattered.
Wow, congrats.
Thanks. I was like, yeah, I got it. And then we got out of there. But it was really fun. But I love strip clubs and have no problem with you going there. And I think it's cool to set up a thing. Those girls are fun.
I felt particularly shy and vulnerable to telling such a titillating tale in front of my coworkers.
Oh yeah, that could be it. That's always the thing about podcasts, is like, if we're having a conversation that we would have if we were alone, but there's right now four other people just listening quietly. So it just, like, if we were just thinking about the audience, devilish, we maybe wouldn't care, but like, just right, having one person be, yes, just a couple people in the same, I'm alone in my room, thank God, but like, I know that on Zoom and like in your room, there's other people that are.
No, I'm like in an office right now, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
it's so weird. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us four.
I mean, the end of the story is just me like taking a nap. It's not like, if the end of the story was like, and yeah, hell yeah, I got fucking laid like hardcore. I jizzed everywhere. Then you'd be like, ah, geez. But the end of the story is I ate a sandwich and I took an 8-hour nap. It's like super perfectly lame. I was trying to be like, I don't know.
You were so almost cool. Yeah.
I was so almost cool. And I was close. Just a lame middle-aged man.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Eric Andre.
What's the worst bomb you've ever seen that you didn't experience personally, but one you've
seen? Okay, can I just, I'm not going to name names, but I saw one recently.
You don't have to name names. You can.
I saw one recently, dude. It was so funny because I'd never seen this guy before.
We can also bleep the name.
Well, I saw this guy. I don't think we need to say his name because it honestly doesn't.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
No, I didn't know how popular this guy was when I saw him. I'd never seen him before, but he's a big deal. And he's more of like a TikTok guy, but it's not Matt Rife either.
Can you text me after this?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly. It's not even going to be that exciting because you'll be able to see what I'm talking about almost immediately.
I'll cut it out. Just tell me now. I don't know.
Exactly. But he's a bit like, he's got a lot of followers. He's got like, he sells out theaters. Like, he does well for himself. And he's like, I didn't know he was a big deal. He's actually really nice. But I went up, I was at the Laugh Factory one night, not that long ago. And he, no one in the crowd really knew of his fame. And his, he just was bombing so badly. And there was a guy that was heckling him. And because he's a crowd work guy. And so that's his bread and butter. But he just lost, like, he couldn't handle this guy that was just, I really forget the context of it, but it was so hard to watch and so uncomfortable to be in the room with. Like, it was a massive, massive bomb for a very long time. He seemed very shaken by it. He couldn't get it back up. And I got the impression that, you know, the other comics in the room, it meant something to him that we were witnessing this. And I felt really bad. I almost wanted to leave because I just didn't want him to know that I knew that he like sucked, because this is the first time I'm seeing him. So I just think this guy sucks. Right. Turns out he's like very good at crowd work. And it's, which I do think is a talent that I don't have. But this was just an offset for him.
Is crowd work now the cool thing? Because when we were coming up, like, I would do crowd work and people,
it was shameful.
And people would be like, don't do crowd work. Crowd work's easy. You're not allowed. It was like, you're not allowed to do crowd work.
Since when is something that's branded easy, like, not anything that's easy, people go, you can't do it. It's like, actually, it works though. It comes easy to me. Like, it doesn't come easy to me. Crowd work to me is like very scary and difficult. I don't even do it. So I think when it's done well, it's really impressive. I think when it's like worthless clips on Instagram,
it was so discouraged. I remember
loving
doing it and relishing
because people are threatened by it.
Oh,
because it's, I think people that are, I'm a joke writer. They're like, I'm not good off the cuff. And I'm speaking for me. We're like, we want to make you feel bad about this thing that you do well. And so we're like, if you do that, you're a hack because we can't do it. And you must write a joke and prepare. So I think that's where it comes from. But now it's more acceptable, as it should be. I think it's a cool talent.
I think it's cool too. I always thought it was cool. I was like, why not? Why not be spontaneous?
And audiences fucking love it. It works.
Yeah, gives a fuck.
But if something's easy, people go, it's not real stand-up. Like, talking about sex too much, it's too easy. It's like, is that easy?
I never thought it was easy. It's not easy. I never thought it was easy. That was the criticism that it got.
You're right. That is it. Let's make it clear. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
But people say it is. And that's what I say about when people brand a lot of comedians as sex comics like myself, of like, all they talk about sex or like, they're just raunchy. And I think people think you do it because it's easy. And it is easy for me to talk about my sex life and make fun of it. But I don't think it's easy for most people. And I do think that therein is some kind of talent. Whether I, you know.
Nothing's easy. Nothing's easy. Comedy's hard.
But people like to say things are easy because they can't do it. And it's like, maybe you're not a dirty comic because you don't have the balls to be one. Maybe not because it's so easy to be a dirty comic.
It's
maybe
not easy.
You're not one because it's not easy for you. Whereas being a clean comic is not easy for me. But just because anything's easy, I don't want to watch people I like do things that are hard for them. I don't want to watch Jerry Seinfeld play the oboe. Like, just because that would be hard for him, I'm not like, wow. Like, doing comedy is easy for him. It takes a lot of work, but like, why does everyone, we always want to see someone doing something that's so hard? You know, like,
I don't know.
That's what bugs me when people say it's easy for her. It's like, yeah, that's me because I'm inclined to do this thing. That's, you know, I'm going in the direction of what my personality is like. I talk about sex. But so I saw this guy bomb.
Yes.
And I think it was really good because he'll never be impressive to me after seeing that. Like, I will never respect him.
Why is that good?
Because I think sometimes when, it's not like I will ever, I respect him.
You will never respect him.
I'll never be intimidated by him because I've seen him faint, essentially. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
He'll never be able to showboat around me or act like he's.
You've seen his human moment.
Yeah. I know he can suck sometimes. So
that's like my friend was like, anytime you want to talk to a hot girl, just imagine them taking a shit. Yes. They all do it, man.
I saw this guy take a dump, and many people have seen me take a dump, and it's so, you can't get out of your head. But because it was the first thing I saw of him, it's cemented. It's kind of like you can't go back to your home club because you bomb there so much. That's all they remember you for.
Yeah, being
awkward on stage. So I think that bomb, I was like, I felt bad for him, but it was ever since then he's killed, absolutely murdered, like hard to follow murdered. But I'm always like, no, I saw you fucking eat it once so bad and you had no exit strategy, dude. None. There was no rescuing you. It was so bad. And I hope that never happens to me again, but it definitely will. And that's the part about stand-up comedy that's fun.
I have to go.
I have to too. Is that the buzzer?
Nikki, I love you so much.
I love you, Eric.
Thank you so much for
doing
this.
Thank you. It was so fun to talk.
When you get out of the prison that is St. Louis, Missouri.
I love my mom and dad. Not going to do it.
Please come hang out with me.
I would love it.
And let's go watch people bomb.
We're friends.
I thought we were friends until you said we're friends.
I just decided we are. You should have questioned it before.
Eric Andre.
Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast, executive produced by Han Sani and Olivia Aguilar, edited and sound designed by Andy Harris. Our art is by Dylan Vanderberg. And if you want to confess to your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode. Listen to all my episodes ad-free. The guests on Bombing with Eric Andre were recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike, so leave me alone, internet. Bye!
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.